My dearly beloved, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul is a very high-ranking feast day in the church year and outranks the Sunday today. It has the rank of what we call a double of the first class, the highest rank that a feast can enjoy. And in fact, you may not have been aware of the fact that in canon law there are 10 holy days of obligation on the universal calendar. For over 100 years in this country, we have only observed 6 of them, the American bishops having obtained permission to transfer the obligation of 4 of them to the following Sunday, and the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul is one of those, observed in most of the world as a holy day of obligation. Certainly a very important feast day in the church year, and why? Because these two great apostles both on this day shed their blood for their faith. Saint Peter, the prince of the apostles, the first pope, the vicar of Christ, the head of the other apostles, and Saint Paul, the greatest of the apostles, the apostle of the Gentiles. These two names, Peter and Paul, are always joined in the liturgy. We have them always at the beginning of the lists of the apostles, together, Peter and Paul. And how fitting that they both died a martyr's death on the very same day, June the 29th, in the year 67, under the Emperor Nero. Saint Peter was crucified upside down because he told the executioners who were about to crucify him on the Vatican Hill, "I am not worthy to shed my blood to die in the same posture as my divine master." And so they turned him upside down and thus crucified him. Saint Paul, being a Roman citizen, was not subjected to the torture of crucifixion, which was reserved for the slaves and the meanest of criminals. But rather, Saint Paul was martyred by beheading on the Ostian Way, a road leading outside of Rome, outside the gates of the city. And there a basilica now stands on the spot, the Basilica of St. Paul, just as the great Basilica of St. Peter stands on the Vatican Hill on the spot on which St. Peter was martyred for the faith. We have a lot to learn from these two great apostles. And first of all, St. Peter. St. Peter had a tremendous love for our Divine Lord. He was very strong, very forthcoming in his profession of faith, as we read in today's gospel. Our Divine Lord saying to the apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And after a number of them had answered what they had heard others calling our Lord, another Elias, John the Baptist risen from the dead, a great prophet, etc. And then he turned to them and said, "And who do you say that I am?" Only St. Peter had the courage, the bravery to say what was in his heart, that Jesus truly was and is the Son of God. And our Lord said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to me and to thee." In other words, no man has told thee this, but my Father in heaven revealed it. And our Lord promised that he would make St. Peter the head of his church. Many times we find St. Peter taking the leadership role, and every time in Scripture that you find the list of the apostles, he is always given first, because the others knew that he had the first place. And even at the Last Supper, when our Lord was predicting that St. Peter would deny him, he said to Peter, "And thou, having once converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, of course, when our Lord had told Peter, or actually had told all the apostles, that they would all leave him that night, that very night, just a few hours hence, St. Peter, who truly loved our Lord, said, "No, never. I will never deny thee. Even if everyone else does so, I will not deny thee." And Jesus looked upon him with a bit of sadness because he saw his presumption. If St. Peter, at those words of our Lord, had only fallen at his feet and said, "Dear Lord, please do not allow that to happen.
Give me your grace so that I will never betray you. But St. Peter did not do that. He was a little obstinate in his presumption and pride and said, no, even if everyone else leaves you, I will never do so. I will never deny you. And Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crows twice this very night, thou shalt deny me three times. And one of the fathers of the church observes how strange it was, what a strange juxtaposition of events, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, St. Peter drew his sword in the midst of this whole band of soldiers with swords and clubs. He was ready to face them all. He drew his sword and struck the nearest enemy, a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. He was ready to die for our Lord right then and there. And our Lord told him to put away his sword. Our Lord healed the ear of the servant and told his enemies to allow the apostles to go their way. A few hours later, perhaps less than that, an hour or two later, in the court of the high priest, St. Peter, who was so brave facing this whole battalion of soldiers, now denies his master at the word of a humble servant girl. What does that show us? That on the one hand, St. Peter was so brave, so strong, so courageous. And on the other hand, at the meek words of a servant girl who said, you also were one of his followers, he denied with an oath. He began to curse and repeated three times that he did not know the man. It reminds us, my dear friends, of our own weakness. We must never become presumptuous. We must always remember that we are weak and fickle, and we are liable to fall and to deny our divine Lord. So if we maintain humility, if we constantly remind ourselves that we have, in fact, denied our divine Lord, then we will have the humility to turn to Him, and our humility will obtain the grace of God to keep us from offending Him again. And indeed, we all have denied our Lord. St. Augustine says, we deny Christ as often as we commit sin. Every mortal sin is a denial of our divine Lord. And if we have denied our Lord as did Peter, have we repented as Peter repented? St. Peter had such deep contrition that, as scriptural scholars tell us, he went forth from the hall that Holy Thursday night, or Good Friday morning, and he went forth, as scripture tells us, and wept bitterly. And it is the common opinion that he wept all the way until the resurrection of our divine Lord. He went off by himself to repent of his sin, to weep, and to ask God's forgiveness. And after his resurrection, our Lord appeared first to St. Peter before the other apostles, privately, to assure St. Peter that he had been forgiven. St. Clement, who was the third successor of St. Peter in the papacy, a disciple of St. Peter in Rome, said that every time he heard a rooster crow, St. Peter would begin to weep. And he wept so much in his entire life that he wore furrows down his cheeks. The tears were so frequent that the trace of them could be seen on his cheeks. Such was the repentance of St. Peter. But do we follow him in his repentance? We who likely have followed him in sin? Reminds me of a story of one king. And I don't remember the saint who rebuked this king. I believe it was St. Ambrose, or one of the popes, one of the holy bishops in the early church, rebuked this supposedly Catholic king for his public crime that he'd committed, whatever it was. It was a scandal to the people. And this bishop rebuked him, and the king said, well, David was also a king in the Old Testament, and he sinned greatly. And the saint answered very wisely. He said, then if you followed him in his sin, now follow him in his repentance. Because King David also repented for the rest of his life. And what about us? how easily we go to confession and then perhaps forget all about our betrayal of our divine Lord. We go forth and perhaps sadly repeat the very same crime, very unlike the great Saint Peter. The fall of Saint Peter now is to his greater honor and glory. It is read all over the world in the Bible, in Scripture, because Saint Peter repented. Saint Peter changed his life and laid down his life for our divine Lord, labored courageously, spreading the faith. First, after leaving Jerusalem, living in Antioch for 7 years, and then going to Rome, because it was truly said that all roads led to Rome. And how fitting for the first pope to take up his residence in the eternal city and to work for the conversion of the Roman people, writing a couple of epistles, going on various missionary journeys, spending the rest of his life spreading the faith, and then finally consummating that wonderful life by offering it in sacrifice, a martyr's death to our divine Lord, as I said, being crucified upside down. Let us then follow St. Peter in his repentance and in his contrition. What a wonderful example. Why do we so easily fall back into sin? Perhaps because our repentance is not so deep, so profound, so thorough as it should be. Why do we so easily return to what we know is an occasion of sin? Because our contrition, our repentance, is perhaps not so sincere, so firm, so deep as it should be, as it could be, as it ought to be. Let us now reflect upon St. Paul, the great St. Paul, who also had deeply offended our divine Lord. He persecuted the Christians, and St. Paul also, for the rest of his life, maintained a deep humility. Even though he was honored so greatly, even though he was wrapped up into heaven in a vision, as he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. But he experienced the joys of heaven. St. Paul always said, I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He always remembered that. He said, but for the grace of God, there go I. Meaning that if it were not for the grace of God, he would fall into sin. He had such a great humility. St. Paul, after his conversion, was tireless in spreading the gospel. We read in the epistles and in the Acts of the Apostles the things that he underwent, the shipwreck, the stoning, the scourging, the persecution, being hunted down, being tortured, scourged and stoned many times, and surviving all of these until he finally consummated his life with martyrdom on the same day as St. Peter. St. Paul was courageous in spreading the faith, and gives us an example of zeal for the faith, not keeping our faith hidden, not being ashamed of it, not afraid to profess our faith, but to spread our faith above all by the good example that we give. We may not be called to be other St. Paul's and go forth on missionary journeys preaching, but we do preach by living our faith. Do we practice our Catholic faith when we are around our Catholic friends and fellow parishioners, and then turn right around when we are around others and fall into the same way of speaking, the same laughing at the same jokes as others that offend Almighty God because we are ashamed, because we are afraid of standing up for our faith? St. Paul is a great model of fortitude and courage for us, to live our faith and to spread it, to preach it by example. At least to do that. And to imitate these two great saints in their love for our Lord and their willingness to lay down their lives for their faith. Our Lord said, he who denies me before men, him also will I deny before my heavenly Father. But he who confesses me before men, him also will the Son of Man confess before the Father in heaven. Let us pray to these two apostles that we will have the strength to live and profess our faith by the way that we live, so that we will be accepted before the Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.